The Fan.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
I think anyone who puckers up their lips and presses it against their boss's buttocks and then smooches is an ass kisser.
I seem to be inept at everything except my work. I'm good at my work. And I confine myself to that. All I want out of life is a 30 share and a 20 rating.
The man's enlarged my mind. He's a poet, warrior in the classic sense. I'm a little man. He's a great man.
Think of it as colors. There's black and there's white. And in between is mostly gray. That's us. Now, gray is a tough color because it's not as simple as black and white. And for the media, certainly not as interesting. But it's who we are.
This is your... The Goose has become the official bird of the Big Ten Conference. Leader Fan. Fan Radio Network.
Believe.
And KFAN. .com. 1 minute, 52 seconds past the hour of 3 o'clock Central Daylight Time. Welcome back. Bumper to Bumper is the name of the show. It's live and it's local. And it is scheduled for the next 3.5 hours. On a eventually rainy Thursday afternoon here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. I host the program. My name is Dan Barrero. I'm joined, as always, by Gardzi, the producer of the broadcast as well. And we are thankful that you are part of today's proceedings. I mentioned off the top of the show that we are indeed your... The Goose has become the official bird of the Big Ten Conference leader. Because it's what we kind of knew was coming is now official. The Big Ten is the goose that laid the golden eggs. By the way, for the record, the goose that laid the golden eggs is one of Aesop's fables.
Yeah, Aesop.
Numbered apparently 87. In what's called the Perry Index. I'm not familiar with the Perry Index. Are you?
No.
It's number 87. I don't know why it's 87, but I guess it had to get some number, and that's the number it got. And the story of the goose that laid the golden eggs, there is a cautionary tale related to it.
Yeah, it doesn't end well, if I remember right.
And I guess if you listen to what Glenn Mason had to say as recently as yesterday, maybe... The news that is now official regarding the new era of Big Ten conference prosperity might have a dark side. Can't rule it out. Maybe eventually that part of the fable will apply. Right now, I'm just talking about the goose laying the golden eggs, because the Big Ten is utterly and completely flush in cash. It's being described, according to the Associated Press, as a seven-year, $7 billion TV contract. And it's really a series of contracts. But you add them all up, if these sources are right, 7 years, $7 billion. Now, I'm not a great math mind.
This is a big, big package.
That would come out to $1 billion a year. Now, I know it's not really set up that way, because I don't think we're going to start seeing our conference the big, big, big money until year three.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So it's staggered, but it's even more, I guess you could say, gargantuan, absurd, than perhaps we'd even been led to believe previously. It's astonishing. And it's, for you, arousing. You being Gardzi.
Me, green,
given that, in effect, what we now know is official is that college football Saturdays, as far as the Big Ten is concerned, from a TV standpoint, will be very much like NFL Sundays, in that you'll have an early game, in this case, I think, an 11 a.m. game instead of noon.
Yep.
That's going to be, that's Fox.
Fox. We call it big noon kickoff in the business.
Then you say, well, in the NFL, you know, you got the noon kickoff, and then you got, okay, well, then there's a doubleheader game, the 3:25 game, whatever.
Yep.
Well, that in Big Ten, in the new Big Ten pecking order, will be the CBS national game. And then you say, well, now, hold on a minute. NFL, when they have a triple header, they got a Sunday night game too. Where does the Big Ten come in there? NBC will offer you Saturday night Big Ten football. It's hitting the mother load if you're involved with financially. If you have anything to do with the Big Ten Conference, culminating in Big Ten Saturday night.
I love that. I love that.
Big Ten Saturday night on NBC.
I'm aroused just thinking about it.
Think about it. So if you are a college football fan, a Big Ten fan, you can start watching your favorite conference at 11 in the morning Central Time, and you'll be watching till midnight because college games go on forever.
That's right? True. Yes, they do.
And I can't help but feel even more strongly about the fact that if any of these numbers are close to being true, no so-called minor sport should ever have to go away again in any Big Ten institution. Every one of those so-called, you know, complementary sports,
yep,
Olympic
non-revenue.
Sports, non-revenue sports, they should all be protected. I'm trying to figure out if we can get any money out of this, or you can get any money out of this, or maybe we get raises on enough said. Because, I mean, there's so much money involved in this thing. It's difficult. I don't have the imagination to get to the billions. 7 years, $7 billion. And what's even more hilarious is you're hearing quotes from either current or more likely former TV executives saying, that's about fair. That's about fair. In other words, there's no feeling the networks are going to get screwed out of making their money, even though they're passing along this kind of money to Kevin Warren's Big Ten Conference. And it has to be good to be Kevin Warren right now, the commissioner.
Well, I told you in Indy, he was feeling it. He was feeling himself, and he should have, because he knew that he had $7 billion deal. He's on the precipice of, once again, having the Big Ten kind of change how things are done.
Gymnastics coming back to the U? Men's gymnastics?
Honestly, I think it's a fair question.
It should be.
I think it's a fair question, like
track,
you said, for
coming
all
back
of them.
To the... Didn't we lose track, too? Outdoor track?
Yeah, on the men's side.
On the men's side?
Yep, men's tennis.
That coming back?
I think it's a fair question.
We should be able to add like four or five other sports that we don't even know exist.
We should pick up a couple sports, yes.
It's a lot of money. The Southeastern Conference, their deal with... And by the way, we're done officially now. It's now official. We kind of knew it was headed this way, but what was your favorite Big Ten on ESPN moment? It's over. And I expressed a little bit of trepidation and concern just because ESPN being ESPN, they're not going to lead with Big Ten in their sports center as much as they have in the past. And that's concerning, I would say. But in the grand scheme of things, if you're the Big Ten, you can't really worry about that because the networks you're going to are all major networks. It's not like the days where the NHL chose a network no one had ever heard of and had no platform that mattered. You're talking about CBS, Fox, and NBC. And so you're in the limelight. If you're a Big Ten Conference player, shall we say, you're in the limelight, right? Pretty much more than you even have before. That is, at least if you are a reasonable football product, you still, chances are you're not going to, you know, you may not get those Big Ten Saturday night games very much if you're at the bottom of the conference or if you are, you know, winning on average two or three games a year in the Big Ten. Right.
Right.
But otherwise.
But it's giving you more like premium real estate. Because it used to be you had to get the Fox game, or you wanted the Fox game, or you wanted the night game. 2:30s were nice, but typically those would be on, you know, ABC or ESPN or whatever it might be. And obviously when it was on ABC, it was on a network. But it feels like they created more big games, even though they really didn't. It just, they're all going to feel that way, though, because CBS is going to put its best foot forward.
Correct.
Obviously, NBC's going to. And we know that Fox has since they got the deal a few years back. So
I'm
very intrigued by it.
That's my question. Is the Big Ten up to it? A lot of pressure because you're going to be big time. I mean, this is formerly SEC property, correct?
It is 2:30. Yep, on CBS.
The 2:30 part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, now, so you got a lot of expectations here. You got a lot of pressure on whether you can produce. But in the meantime, the deal, as I said, goes 7 years anyway. I like this quote from former Fox Sports president Bob Thompson. And he's acknowledging the importance of adding, you know, the UCLA, USC part of the equation. And he says, regarding West Coast schools, how that should help increase what the conference can make off its cable network in that part of the country. He says the economics of that alone are rather large. If you get 3 million people all of a sudden get the Big Ten Network as part of their expanded basic cable package, that's $3 million a month compared to what they had been getting, which is like $3 million a year. It's just one of the many examples of just how obscene this particular money is. CBS will carry 14 to 15 Big Ten football games a season from 2024 to 2029. So that replacement, where CBS replaces the SEC game of the week at 3:30, that by the way, is going to ABC, with a Big Ten game, will not start for two more seasons, correct? 2024?
Yes.
Is that when it was?
Because
so
the SEC
stuff,
still got it
now,
through then.
The Big Ten Saturday night deal, that starts next year in 2023. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff is staggered, but it gets moving pretty quickly, starting with the 2023 season, and then the big money. I mean, we were estimating that the Gophers, for example, now are likely to get $100 million a year with the new deal. They now get, isn't it like about 45 from TV
it's
packages?
Probably like closer to 60.
Oh, is it 60?
Yeah, I would guess.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's going to be 80 to 100 here pretty quickly.
And I'm wondering if it's going to be more than that.
Once they add a couple more teams.
See, all these numbers.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's going to be $100 million minimum. Might be more. Did I read somewhere? I thought I did. Isn't the whole school budget, athletic budget, like 120 mil?
Probably right
see
around
what the
there.
Status. Yeah. Strib had a story on this particular issue. They're claiming that in 2019, the most recent athletic department budget, not affected by the pandemic, the Gophers earned $45 million in conference distributed media rights, $36 million for football, $9 million for basketball. We're expecting it to go over 100. 2019, the total operating revenue for the entire athletic department was $130 million. It is a brave new world. And by the way, it could have unintended bad consequences. It could end up being another Aesop fable, because the goose that laid the golden egg, the message there is don't get greedy.
Right.
Right?
Right. Fat cats get slaughtered.
Exactly. Don't kill the goose. Because you figure you've decided, I think this is the fable, the only way you can get the golden egg from out of the goose is you got to kill it. That had some ramifications, according to Aesop. There was a cautionary tale there. There might be two or three of them here, but the bottom line is the details on this particular deal, now apparently official. Bottom line is it should be good to be Guardsy, because I'm sure they're going to pass along a lot of this money to you. Doing sideline reports for the Golden Gophers, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that you end up, whatever your salary is from the U, I'm guessing it's going to be doubled within 3 years.
I would take that.
I would think you would.
I'm more interested in all the different streaming services that are going to be utilized, and can I leverage myself into one of those jobs and add another job?
Oh, good point.
You know, can I throw something in for Peacock? Can I throw something in for FS1?
I don't think any of that, frankly, can be ruled out, any of it. The Borton Volvo guest lineup is, as the kids say, fat today. Although every time I say that to my daughter, she looks at me, and because I pretend that I think it's really still what the kids say, even though it isn't. But she assumes that I mean it.
And I can't wait for those days.
She rolls her eyes. Yes. You're like, Dad.
It's a good part of fatherhood.
I
go,
oh. And then I played, oh, it's not in anymore? Even though, what's the word for fat now?
Like, if it's cool?
Yeah. What is the word for that? It's not fat anymore, I'm told. So what is it? What has replaced fat?
I mean, I've got like 9 on the tip of my tongue.
Oh,
but
so is that many?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I think it just depends on kind of the mood.
Well, maybe you can come back and give me some tips in that regard. We'll give you the, as I mentioned, the very fat Borton Volvo guest lineup, and we will give you some breaking National Football League news as well.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Oh, man. Settlement in the Deshaun Watson case. If you've not yet heard it, you'll recall that we were waiting for a ruling from the former Attorney General of New Jersey, Peter C. Harvey. Harvey had been appointed by Goodell after the league appealed that 6-game suspension issued by former Judge Sue Robinson. NFL saying, not going to work. Not enough. The assumption was Harvey might be tougher, but nobody really knew. There was always the chance, though, as we went along, that the two sides could come to some kind of a settlement, heading off the need for Harvey to render a ruling regarding said appeal. That apparently has now taken place. And Deshaun Watson, and I think we had talked about a lot of the speculation on this, maybe getting it to 10 to 11 games, well, or 12. Watson agreeing to serve an 11-game unpaid suspension, pay a $5 million fine, and undergo professional evaluation and treatment. That's the settlement. So what this means is, effectively, the Browns are blown out for the current season. They are paying a price for signing him in that regard. Now, I guess you could say, if their backup's good enough and up to it, who's to say? But Watson himself will not be available until December now. Must miss 11 games. That now is all part of the agreement. I always felt that his conduct was worthy of a year. The circumstances, the situation.
The volume.
The volume screamed a year. But I also said, well, get me well into this season where I feel like this season gets harmed for him and for the Browns, the team that signed him. And now that is indeed taking place. Plus, now there's another hit financially of $5 million. Is that enough? I don't know. Everybody's got a different opinion about it, but it's much closer. And the NFL must have felt it was close enough that they felt that the point had been made, and they too we're not as interested in waiting to see what Harvey was going to do. It's interesting that, I mean, the assumption is the NFLPA went along with this, unless they just said, well, if Watson's willing to accept it, then we're not going to get involved in that as well. He loses. What's weird is, you remember, there's not much salary this year. So he loses like $600,000 plus in salary this season. The suspension will take effect August 30th, but then he'll also have to pay a $5 million fine. I don't know how quickly he has to deliver that check. I'm not exactly sure. This, I'm sure, is one of the subjects we'll get into with Sean Salisbury next segment. He is back to be part of our pro football coverage on Bumper to Bumper throughout the season. He'll be with us next segment. Borton Volvo guest lineup also includes Aaron Gleeman in studio. Twins off today, red hot, preparing for the Texas Rangers tomorrow. And then we'll open Dr. Dan's inbox probably 5:30. Email GarzyJG at KFAN.com. I've been nominated for PST. It goes back to the discussion we were having yesterday with Kessler about the Wizard of Oz, which I think opened this week in 1939. Somehow we got to it. In fact, the day before we had talked about the announcement, the big reveal, that there's going to be an updated remake, yeah. Wizard of Oz. And so Aaron has nominated me for PST. Last night, Big Ticket was going off in the 6 p.m. hour about them rebooting Wizard of Oz, talking about the Judy Garland version, never once realizing that it itself was the eighth version of that book made into a movie. I would suggest respectfully to Aaron, it's not all that preposterous in that maybe he and I can agree on this. Whatever version of it exists, if it clicks and resonates and lasts to the degree that, I'll take his word for it, version number 8 did, isn't that the point? I don't think Casablanca was made before the bogey version. But if there was, maybe there was a silent movie version, I'm not sure. But if there was, then I'd say again, well, whenever you feel like somebody's nailed it, then you stop repeating it. Until then, until you get it to a place where it becomes mythic, then okay, make as many as you want. But what we're talking about is a motion picture that has arrived on that level. So whether it was version 8 or version 4, depending on how you want to look at it, if that's the version that sticks with people now, more than 80 years later, then you'd say, not going to need another one. Not going to need another one. You're now just trying to show off and you're trying to steal.
We're moving on.
And we'll figure out, we'll come up with a different idea. We'll come up with a better idea, but a different one. So it's PST. Technically, I guess, yeah, since it's a remake, but it kind of misses the point of whatever that number in a production, in a series of productions is about that story. If you nail it to the degree they did then you just leave the damn thing alone. Let's come back and chat with Sean Salisbury. Get caught up on a lot of NFL things. The Deshaun Watson story, his view from afar of the Minnesota Vikings. I got a couple of things up my sleeve. Salisbury's always a good time with us. And quite informative as well. He will join next.
The Fan.
Football season is now upon us. In fact, I think there's a preseason football tonight. Vikings are back in action at home Saturday against the Niners. They continued practice with the 49ers at TCO earlier today. We weren't there because they moved it from afternoon to morning. And Sean Salisbury, I know, is preparing for the upcoming 2022 season as well. And he has agreed graciously to join us again each and every week, whenever possible, throughout the 2022 season. He joins us via the Kinetico Water Systems hotline. Have you had a restful and peaceful and quiet summer? Or for a guy who's got all the responsibility, radio responsibilities you do, I assume there is no downtime.
Not a lot of downtime, but that's okay. I know what the alternative of downtime looks like, so I'm okay with it. I spent a lot of my summer, Dan, and it's great to be on with you. I'm looking forward to the season big time for a lot of different reasons. I was had a full load of class schedule because I'm trying to accelerate getting this master's degree. So I just finished classes, literally doing a project about a week ago, not this time last week. And then I just got two classes in the fall and I'm done. So about a year ahead of schedule. So I spent most of my time studying over the summertime.
Oh, that's outstanding. So you've made major inroads throughout the summer. Much closer, correct?
Yeah, I did. And a full load in like post grad, an MBA is three classes, at least at Texas A&M. That's the most you can take. So I've tried to power through it, and I'm fortunate I'm here. So I just have two classes, like I said, in the fall, and I'll graduate in December. So it's been a lot of great learning experience, and I've had some phenomenal professors, and it's been awesome. So I'm almost done. But that's what I did most of the summer, and I'm kind of glad football's here, so I'm okay to be busy. It's always good to be on with you.
It's good to have you. And, again, I have a lot I want to try to get to today, including your reaction to the Deshaun Watson settlement and on the Vikings from afar as they prepare for 2022 with the new group, new coach, new GM, et cetera. But we were chatting the other day this was in the wake of an encouraging second-half performance from Kellen Mond in the Vikings' first preseason game. He was pretty dismal first half, missed some people wide open, and played better. And for a lot of people, I noted it was enough, just that improvement against, at that point, probably third and fourth stringers, for people to say basically the backup job's settled and maybe Kirk should be nervous. And I immediately thought back to Vikings history, and I think you were here for some of this when a Heisman Trophy quarterback named Gino Toretta was on the club. I think you were here. I think you were one of the other quarterbacks.
He was my training camp roommate. I love Gino.
Oh, even better.
I was there. I was there when he got there, yeah.
Okay, so there was a game against the Chiefs where he had a big fourth quarter. I think you guys ended up losing the game. But he threw very well. And I remember, what I remember about it even then was there were people ready to give Gino the number one Vikings quarterback job on the basis of just that preseason thing. So you can speak to the sort of mania that sets in when people have not had a chance to see a backup quarterback or a young quarterback, and so they see no warts, they see nothing but upside projection, and often we learn that, well, that was because, that was a preseason game, and that was against the third string or the fourth string or whatever. You've been around all that, have you not? You can speak to that phenomenon.
Yeah, not only been around it, but been on both ends of the, oh my gosh, look out, or oh my gosh, here he comes, my rookie year, undrafted after blowing my knee out, and went to Seattle and got a ton of work. David Craig was there, and David didn't need a lot of work. I mean, he'd proven he was pretty damn good, and I had one of those preseasons you needed to have because they had gotten Paul McDonald from the Cleveland Browns.
I remember him.
They already had Gail Gilbert. They already had David Craig. We had six. They had drafted a guy. Now I had to have a full every game. So I was fortunate to have a monster preseason. Maybe my best preseason in my 10 years of playing. But there was whispers like, look out, David Craig. And I'm like, even me as a player, I'm like, no, you guys have no idea. This is it. I watch that dude practice every day. He's different than the rest. That ball comes out on time. I'm just scrambling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
in your mind, you're thinking, man, it's great, but let's not go overboard, but the hype, it's true. And my good buddy, God rest his soul, John Clayton, was the beat writer then, and we laugh about it to this day. And I played like half the time and split time with David Craig. That was when they were playing the fourth preseason game. You still played a lot.
Yeah,
David
sure.
And I split time against the 49ers, wow, a half each. Well, I think they were just trying to figure out, well, let's validate, can Sean keep up?
Sure.
There's no questions about David. So in Minnesota, Gino and I still a dear friend this day. And he was my roommate during training camp. It was me, Brad, I think Gino, and Jimmy Mack was there. I think
that's
it was
right.
That same year.
That's right.
And Gino played well against Kansas City. And Gino was a good player.
Yes, he was.
Smart and was a hell of a college player. But that happens. Like I said, the recipient, it's like, not nothing against Gino, but it's the way it works because you don't see him a lot as fans, and then you see flashes or you see a great game, and hell, I remember exactly that game in Kansas City, and he played a lot of time and brought us back and was throwing the ball, and Denny was happy with him, but we were loaded with some players. And if it was a different team, maybe, because we'd all been there, Gino would have made a team, but at least in a Vikings team. So I was really proud of his performance, but I can remember that hype, but what it is as a fan, as we see it, and Dan, you hit it. You're not seeing a lot of coverages. And let's speak to Kellen Mond. I saw him a bunch at Texas A&M. Is that preseason game kind of epitomized how he was in college a lot. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be a great pro. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about him. I think he's still a ways away.
Yep.
And it's ludicrous right now for them to think it's the distance between Kellen Mond and Kirk Cousins today is enormous. That doesn't mean if he goes in, he doesn't catch his fire and plays well. But he's not anywhere near being ready to start unless he has to over Kirk Cousins. But what happens is coverage has changed, the speed of the game. But Kellen was like that. There's times you'd see him at college, it was like, wow. And then there's times he'd go a quarter and a half or two quarters, and he would disappear. But there's an enormous amount of ability there. And like I've said on your show, the mechanics got to continue to tighten up so you don't miss the easy plays that are there. But that game, but it happens. And I understand fans, oh, my gosh, with it, they don't see the everyday grind of practice, but they may see that one half, and they're like, oh, look at the strides. And that's right, they're strides, but the perspective of who you're playing against, the coverage. Now, Denny, always you say, if we're going to play them, we want to win and play well.
Yep,
and,
I remember
and,
that.
And Gino did against Kansas City, and Kellen did here, but you got a slow roll because the players in the building know. Now, you keep sustaining, another guy doesn't play well,
sure.
Of course, but the preseason games are overrated two ways. One is, let's not put Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh in the Hall of Fame after going 13-15, and let's not bury a guy who goes 1-8 and say, yeah. Oh, my gosh, he doesn't look the part. So there's a fine line, but I do get the excitement because you're, as a fan, trying to grasp onto something. But
you're looking for something.
Yeah, I remember it well. So I've lived both where it was absurd for people to think I should start over a veteran and then been a part of a guy who played well, but unfortunate numbers come into play. I've been a part of both sides.
Yeah, I knew you could speak to this because you've been on, like you say, both sides of it. And even, I've got a lot of emails from people saying, well, I've already seen enough to think he should be the backup. Now, and my response to that has been, all right, look, the bar's not real high, to be honest with you. Mannion is
right.
Is okay. He's not, I don't think he's a legitimate backup QB myself. He's got been around and he's got some knowledge. So the bar is not that high. But I'm saying, no, I still haven't seen enough to feel confident that he would be a backup who might be able to win a game or two for you. It might not even be fair to him at this point. And that speaks to another issue that's a pet peeve of mine, but I feel like I'm going upstream on it. I don't understand that. I tend to believe that the ideal situation for a team that thinks they can be a factor is obviously you got a starting quarterback you believe in. Then you have a backup who has been around and who isn't going to be the guy you want to play 16 games or 17 games with, but who's played enough and has enough ability that he might steal a game or two for you if the other guy gets hurt. And then to me, the third string guy should be the young guy that you say, he's not there yet, but we like some of his skill. We think we could work with him. But as you know, the Vikings, like a lot of teams, just don't invest in backup quarterbacks. Really, the last one here that mattered, well, obviously, was Case Keenum, and that went awfully well. But why is it that so many teams just say, we're going to continue to trust in our starter staying healthy, which Cousins has been, and durable, rather than saying, let's give ourselves a guy that gives us a chance to be the backup, even if he's longer in the tooth, doesn't have a lot left, but still understands how to play and can come in and not be overwhelmed for a week or two?
Dan, your pet peeve, and I don't, you may be swimming upstream with certain organizations, but I don't think you're swimming upstream at all with your opinion. I think that if we all felt that, you'd be swimming downstream, and it's smart. And maybe because I've been in that position, I 100% endorse what you're saying. Now, you'll run into teams like the Jets or the 49ers who have drafted a guy in the first round, so we got to play him.
Right.
And I get that. But in the situation where you've got a veteran like you're talking about, the Vikings is a perfect example, right? They got a young guy who they like, but the one thing missing is the backup. And I can't begin to tell people, I try this. I don't know why people won't invest a little bit more in it. There's probably, Dan, I say always go through, and Vikings lived it with Case, and then we've seen it. The guy who can come in and win games. And those two games you're talking about, Dan, it happened when I was in Minnesota. It happened, I see it, when Steve Bono was in San Francisco. It happened when Teddy Bridgewater replaced Drew Brees for five games and went 5-0. One is building trust among a coaching staff and players where they know. And I can remember Denny always telling us, and if you were a backup, that, you know, when you didn't want to change too much what the offense did, but knowing what the limitations were when Warren Moon went out and I would play, or one of those things is, he always used to say, drive the bus. And he always was very saying, drive the bus. And what for fans who don't know meant, get us home, like you're driving the kid, get us home safely. They could, don't be afraid. Get us home safely. Keep the peace. Make sure we get out the bus. Get that thing going. We'll do it again. Meaning everything will be fine. You got good players. The bus is good. Get us there. We're going to be okay. And so you approach it that way in the process of it wasn't just to show up but win a game. And I can't – this season, somebody's going to miss the playoffs or we'll lose a game or two because the backup's not ready. Do I believe that you're exactly right, that they don't have a solid backup, that Mond could be the number two? Yeah, because if Kevin O'Connell or the coaching staff trusts him more, will they throw him in the fire? Something happens and it's game three and you're 2-0 and it's the third quarter and you need him. I don't know where they're going to go, but – you better have somebody you can trust there. And you look around the league at Andy Dalton. I think he's in New Orleans now, I believe. Case Keenum in Buffalo. If Buffalo loses Josh Allen for a month, I can go 3-1.
Yeah,
I can. And it is the difference. While I know the starter and you're hoping they get hurt, but you got to be a Dan. You know this. You've covered it. You better be lucky. The guys that go 17 games or don't miss a half, even if it's a quarter or a half, or a guy comes off the bench and goes 7 out of 8, and you win. That may be the difference in winning the division or staying home. And so we invest in backup tight ends. We invest in a third receiver. Why the hell wouldn't you invest in the position that is as important as any in sports? And I understand we trust durability, but I'm with you. If I got a solidified starter like a Cousins or somebody like that, and I'm a playoff-type team that I can compete, why wouldn't I put somebody in a position that I trust and said, that's the guy. I got Andy Dalton. I can win with him. And then my third guy is going to be a good player, or if that guy. But I'm with you. I don't want my backup to be a guy I'm not sure about now, but I think is going to be good in the future. I want my backup to be a guy that I know is not my future, but I'll damn well tell you he can hold me down for 4 or 5 weeks. I know it. I've seen it. I've lived it. So I'm with you. It will cost or it will save somebody a game or a playoff. Now, whether Kellen Mond's that guy, but I'm with you on Sean Mannion. I haven't seen enough of him to say that I can trust him for a 7-game run. I can with Case Keenum. I can probably with Chase Daniel. I can with Chad Henne.
Yep.
I can with, there's about Andy Dalton, with about 5 or 6, but you go down the list, you're not going to get the 10 guys you trust in a really tight situation to win you games. And the Vikings should be closing the gap with Green Bay. It's an excellent opportunity.
Sean Salisbury is our guest. He is the host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. That's every morning, every weekday morning, 6 to 10. On his way to that NBA, mentors quarterbacks as well. You can follow him on Twitter via Sean Unfiltered. We're going to have plenty of time to explore a lot of aspects of the Vikings as we get closer to the season itself. But I'll give you this toss-up question. Is a guy who's watched Cousins closely, analyzed him, I think, pretty effectively. What do you believe is the most important thing that this particular coaching staff, this head coach, who is obviously an offensive-minded guy coming from the Rams, what do you think, if it goes well, how do you define that? What is it that they are able to bring to him that perhaps allows him to go to another level?
I always use the word trust, believability, the fact, and familiarity sometimes. And I don't remember how long Kevin was with Washington when Cousins was there, right?
Yes.
On that staff. But let's even say they weren't together, and that this is their first time, but they know Cousins is the starter. Dan, and I look at this. I spend extra time on with you, but I'm intrigued because it's the Vikings and Cousins, and he's such a – and we've talked about it. The numbers, if you just look at raw numbers, you're like, damn, this guy's really good, right? It's true. And if you never watch football, and then you go, and then I looked at it, and it's like, what is it, like 10-30 versus teams that are 500 or better as a starter? Dan, the number, it's like 20-some percent winning percentage. The number of his as a starter in the league against plus 500 teams is alarmingly bad. Now, when I read that, the first thing came to my mind was, well, quarterback stat. Yes, it falls on the head coach and the quarterback. We never look at the left tackle and say, he was 27-3 as a starter before he got hurt.
Right.
We never say that. We say it about the quarterback and the coach like a pitcher or a manager. And I looked, I said, no, he can't be 10-30 or 10-40. It is a brutal statistic. And then you go back and say, okay, but what about the game where he played his butt off and they couldn't get off the field. Like last year, they couldn't get a lot of stops. So it's almost unfair to say all of it's on him. Unfortunately, a quarterback perception is it is. Just like when they win a game and he may play average. Well, man, any quarterback, well, way to lead him. You know,
yeah.
Yet the numbers say he didn't play well and somebody else played great. So I think for the Minnesota this year, Dan, I'm past the point. Like when I look at young quarterbacks, somebody asked me about Davis Mills. I say it may not be in wins and losses, but the elevation of how people respond around him will tell me if he's better and if he's got a chance to be the guy where they don't draft anybody. We're past that with the Vikings and Cousins, and even with the rookie head coach. Is for Cousins, it's got to be find ways, and I don't care how you do it, whether it's grab a guy on defense and say don't let him get by, or you make throw after throw or protect the ball. It's got to come in wins and losses and advancing your football team. It just does. We're no longer at the, well, now let's give the hall pass because it's a rookie head coach. I don't care. And I know there's a like a young quarterback, there's a growing that we got to give a chance for the head coach to lock in. But for O'Connell to trust the fact that that's the guy going forward and he gives us the best chance for the next year or two or this year in particular. What do I need to see? You know, I'm quite frank, and not just here, but in certain cities, I'm not okay with, well, I saw the offense looked good and they were third in the NFL. I don't think Kevin's going to be okay with that. It's got to come with get to the postseason. Close the gap with the Packers, win some important close games when it's the time, when it's like games that maybe in the past you would have lost. And it's not always going to fall on Cousins, but guess what? It does. Because that is the perception, unfortunately, with the position you get when you play it. You can throw for 5,000 yards, but if you go 2-15, you know what we say? You were Matt Stafford in Detroit. Okay? It's a look, and then we asked Stafford, well, can you do it with good players? And he did. So, there's good receivers. They got a couple of really good ones and one of the best in the league. They've got a great running back. The defense has got to be better, and I think they will. There's hopefully solidifying that the offensive tackles look to be good, taking care of the inside. So many ways that we'll get to, Dan, before the season. But for me, it's not a, hey, man, they were 10-7, but, man, the offense was explosive. We're past that with Cousins. Matter of fact, it's flipped. And like a veteran coach with a rookie quarterback, now it's the veteran who needs to bring the rookie coach along and says, here's how we're going to do this. So it's not a matter of at the end of the year. They were 9-8, but, man, were they explosive. Cousins threw for 4,300 yards. Great. But what did we do against the team that we're supposed to beat, 5-6, or a team that we haven't beaten in the past, that have lost on a missed field goal or a bad defensive player or an incomplete pass? What did we do? So whatever that it is that elevates the team, he's got to find it, because that's the responsibility of a $30 million or $25 million quarterback. And it's not just on him, but unfortunately for that position, that's just the way it works. So I'm counting on Cousins carrying O'Connell, not the other way around this year, because it's time. He's been in the league long enough to do it.
Well said. Last item for you. Why, as a guy who spent a lot of time in the Deshaun Watson story, of course he was in Houston where you are, why did Watson agree to this settlement to take the 11-game suspension?
Because he knew that if he didn't, that it was going to be worse. Because they were going to get Roger Goodell handpicking his guy, was going to get a minimum full season and revisit it at the end of the year. But I started to hear whispers. So I was on a show in Cleveland last week. I said, do not be surprised within the next week that it is. I said it'd be a 12 games and $5 million bucks. Just when you start to hear enough people, and I'm not the insider, you just talk to people you trust, and it comes down to 11 games and $5 million. And make no mistake, Dan, you and I both know this. There's a reason why it was 11 games, because the Texans are the opening, the game he's going to come back and start, it's in Houston against the Texans. So that isn't by accident, and you and I both know that. So that's one. Because Watson knew after this, because the egg on the face, the optics for the commissioner, all those things for the NFL that needed to be addressed post 6-game suspension, it was as if, okay, I know I'm not going to play. I got to get on the field. I got to make sure the fans know. $5 million to $230 million, not that big a deal. And I think he knew that 16-plus was coming down the pike. So let me get out in front, tease it up. I get to play the last, you know, with 6 games or whatever it is of the season. And the NFL, which never even got to. The thing that baffles me, whether you think he's guilty or not, and all the moral compass, and we know he's a good player, and superstar players are always going to get a different look than somebody else. That's just the facts in football and sports and society, whether we like it or not. It's a gross feeling and subject that we're going through. But I can tell you this, if you're the commissioner, you had a chance to possibly do it even more right. Why did you all of a sudden say, I want a year plus, and he came out and spoke out on it. Then all of a sudden, at the first sight of Watson saying, just give me a suspension. I'll pay $5 million. Let's lower it to 11 games. And what do? They say, oh, okay, cool. Let's do it. So instead of going through and saying, no, there will be no settlement. We're going to go through and let the guy make the decision. We hired him. And it probably would have been a season or at least 12 games. But I think Watson's camp knew it. And the commissioner, we know they want their stars on the field, Dan. So once again, regardless of who you think's guilty or isn't, or if he did wrong or didn't, all those things that come with it, it's still a bad look. Because what it says, and the timing of when he's coming back, it just tells you the almighty dollar, it appears, is still more important than anything that comes to do with somebody's moral compass or the safety and protection of what is the perceived and the alleged accusations of what went on in this Watson situation. If you're a good football player, you're going to get a chance more than somebody else is. And whether you think it's fair or not, it's just the simple facts. Money rules in the NFL, and so do ratings.
Great to have you back, my friend. We will chat next week. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate you.
That is Sean Salisbury, one of our favorites. Great, I was going to say performance, just great analysis and insight from him again today. And you may not always agree with him, but, man, he loads up with opinion, which we appreciate. It gives us a lot, as we like to say in the business, to bounce off of. Speaking of guys who can bounce off of, how about Aaron Gleeman? He is in studio next. We'll catch up on the Twins. They get to catch their breath today, start the weekend series against the Rangers tomorrow. What's the latest on Tyler Mahle? Is he going to be okay? Can we count on him for the stretch run? And some other Twins-related and American League Central-related issues. With
prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.